Today's daf is Shabbos, daf Kufchav Gimel. And we are on Kufchav Vez Mabez. Yesterday we started the parak of Kol HaKelim, the 17th parak in Masechah Shabbos, 17 out of 24. The last time we mentioned this topic at length, that was in the third parak. When we spoke about third parak, parak Kira, it was all about the first half was in terms of Inyani Bishul, mostly Bishul Durabanan. And the second half was about Muksa, also Inyanim of Durabanan. And today, yesterday we started the parak of Kol HaKelim, which is also about Inyanim of Muksa, a specific type of Muksa. It might not even be called Muksa, as we'll get to Bez Hashem later today, but items that in general, colloquially, at least we all call Muksa, items that we're not allowed to move or touch on Shabbos. Just even before we get into the details, just to start with the language of the Rambam and the Raivan. The Rambam quotes, whenever you do Inyani Muksa, you have to learn this Rambam. The Rambam and the Raivan quote four different reasons for the Gzeira, or the Takana, of Muksa, the end of the 24th Perek. In the Rambam, Perek Avdala, the Rambam says, Asru Chachamim L'taltel Miksas Dvarim B'Shabbos, Kederach Shuhosa Bachol, Chachamim Asur being metaltel, moving certain items in the way that you move them on Shabbos. Where did this Isser come from? This is an Isser that's called Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah. There's no Iker, right? Many Gzeiras, they have an Iker Min HaTorah. Basar Of Bechalav, Yesh Lo Iker Min HaTorah. Ribbis Durabanan has Yesh Lo Iker Min HaTorah. It's Avak Ribbis. But Muksa is what's called in the Maseches Beitza, Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah. There's no root of Daraisa, there's no shaykhus to it, it's a Daraisa here. Pashtus. So why is it that they answer this? So the Rambam quotes three, it's amazing, the Rambam quotes three different reasons. How many times does the Rambam quote reasons? He's, might be defensive about it, or maybe he just wants to emphasize it the opposite, but he quotes three different svaras why Muksa is usher on, what we call Muksa is usher on Shabbos. Number one, he says, Amru, Uma im his hiru neviim. Vitzivu chachamim, vitzivu, shalai hi luchach v'shabbos ki luchach b'chol. If we had before, on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, that your dibur should be different on Shabbos, your hiluch should be different on Shabbos, v'lo sichas ha Shabbos ki sichas achol, and your talking should be different on Shabbos, shenemar v'dabar davar, sefar, walking and our talking should be different. Kavachomer shlo yehi tiltu b'Shabbos k'tiltu b'chol. So also we shouldn't be moving around the same items. Everything should be different. K'day shlo yehi k'chol k'yom chol be'enav. So that it is not like a weekday in my eyes. V'yavo lahagbia ulesakein kelim mipina lapina o mibayis labayis o latzni avanim v'chayotze b'hen. I just be involved in the same things I'm involved in on a weekday and on Shabbos. Shaharihu batel, v'yoshe beveso. I'm sitting at home, what am I doing? V'yavaki shavash yizatikbo, what should I be involved in? V'nimsa shalosh shavas. And if I'm involved in all the things I'm involved in on a weekday, it'll come out that memela I didn't have a day of Shabbos. And then the Rambam adds a crucial line, u'batel hatam shene'emar batorah l'ma'an yanuach. And if I violate this, I'm going to be mevatel the daraisa, the pasuk of l'man yanuach. In other words, this is derabanan, but it's a fulfillment. It's a chi of derabanan, but it's a kiyum daraisa of l'man yanuach. Right, just being involved in different activities. Again, bizman hazeh, one might say, well, in our day and age, there's a major difference because you're not involved in your technological toys that we're involved in the whole week. But you know, afal pike in Chazal in the days pre-electronics and pre-everything modern, still they answered it, and that's what we keep this Xera today. So that was number one, to make sure it's a different day, we should be involved in different things, and it's a Kiyam Daraisa, even though it is a Chi of Darabana. Number two, Va'od, Kishe Yevaker V'yataltel Kelam Shemalachton Le'isser, Efshar Shiyiz Asik Bohen Ma'at V'yavo L'dei Melacha. If I'm involved in Klisha Malachto L'issers, which Hashem will talk about. Interesting, the Rambam puts this together here. We'll talk about that. But says the Rambam, if I'm involved in scissors, if I'm moving around scissors and pens and staplers and all those types of items, there's a good chance that I might come to use it in the Usser way, like it's usually used. Number two, that's more of like a regular gzeira. V'ode, number three, mipnei shemiksas ha'am einam ba'ali umnios. Some of the people, they are not professional or artisans during the week. Ella Batalin call you ma'am. They sit around all week. kigon hatayalin v'yoshvei kranos shekol yemeyem hein shobsim imalacha v'im yem mutter lahalechu l'daber ulataltel b'shar kishar hayamim nimsa shloshavas shvisa hanikeres. If we don't institute issues, mitzvos, takanis of muksa, it'll come out that there was no recognizable shvisa. It's a little different than number one. Number one was that my, just meet CD. From a person's own vantage point, my day should be different on Shabbos. And this is from others' vantage point. It wasn't, a person has to be involved in a shvisa hanikeres, a recognizable break from what is done during the week. Lefichach shvisa midvarim elu hi shvisa hashaveh v'chol adam. Obebnei dvarim elu, nagab is, and that gets it to tilt a little bit, but that is the third day, a shvisa hanikeres. Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky both quote this Rambam, in a totally different context. In a totally different context, where the halacha is, as we know, that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa, the only weekday of the year that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat is Erev Yom Kippurim. What's the message of eating on Erev Yom Kippurim? So there is a general chakira in the Achronim. Is it midin hachana, that I have to prepare for the fast? The Kodesh Baruch Hu knows I'm going to be eating anyway, so he makes it into a mitzvah, so that we would prepare and get a mitzvah for it. That's Rashi in Maseches Yuma, that's the Rashi in Maseches Yuma. There's an idea of hachana. The other day I quoted is Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah there writes, the Erev Yom Kippur food is a quasi-Seudas Yantif. The problem is that you can't have a Seudas Yantif on Yom Kippur. So what do? You bump it up. You move it up earlier, and there's already Chalosh Shem Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippurim. That's a Chiddush. But either way, that's the Chakira discussed in the Achronim. But there's a third idea. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and the Emes Liakov and Rabbi Soloveitchik both quote this Rambam. Say that maybe there's a third idea. Shvisa Hanikeres. Just like at Shabbos, there has to be a recognizable cessation of Malacha, so too Yom Kippur has to be a recognizable cessation of eating. And therefore, if I don't eat an Erev Yom Kippur, so then there won't be a recognizable difference between Erev and on. That's why there's a mitzvah dafka to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so that there is a recognizable cessation, a shvisa nikeres, to use the language of the Rambam. But really, the source of that principle is here in Hilchas Muksa. So those are three ideas in the Rambam why we have inyanim of Muksa. I don't know if I would call it a takana or a gzera. Maybe some is more takana-ish, some is more gzera-like, but that's the three issues. The Ravid says it's not enough. I'll give you another reason. Number four, the Ravid says it's a gzera bishum tiltul. We know there's a gzera, the malacha number 39 is the malacha of hotza'ah. So if I'm involved in carrying things and moving things around, I might come to carry them out. Bibnechi of hotza'ah asru betiltul. Masha asru shu geder la hotza'ah. Okay, that's the Ravid. There's a gemara like that will Bez Hashem come up soon. But that is the four ideas of the Rambam and the Ravid to know as we travel through this perek of Kol HaKelim. Okay, so now let's get back to where we will start from the two dots on Kuf Chav Beis Amid Beis. Good. So, Noto Adam Kurdis. Just to foreshadow already, but I'll mention it now. The whole discussion at the beginning of this perek about Kalim might be a different idea than regular Muksa. We'll see this more on Amid Beis today, but just keep in mind, even though we started off discussing Inyani Muksa, the whole discussion at the beginning of this perek might really be a different category of Muksa than all the others. Good. So says the Gemara. Not all Kurdis, a person is allowed to take a hammer, the Mishnah said, to break open nuts. A person can take a saw to cut cheese. A person can take a shovel to put figs in. So, what is the issue? So, day number one. I'm a Rav Yehuda the Amora. Rav Yehuda the Talmud of Shmuel and Rav. Rav Yehuda says, Kurnas shela gozim lefatzea boesa gozim. No. What the Mishnah means is that you're allowed to take a nut hammer in order to cut nuts. Avol shel nafachin. But if you have a real hammer of a blacksmith that's used in the blacksmith area, lo, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Kasavar, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Dover shemalachto leisser. There are different kinds of kalim. There's a kli shemalachto leheter, like a fork or a spoon, and then there's a kli shemalachto leisser, a kli that is usually used for an isser. Stapler, pens, and the like. So Rav Yehuda seems to say, if he's limiting the Mishnah to nut hammers, he seems to say davar shemlachta leiser, a kli that's usually used for an iser, afilas or a kufa aser, even to use it for a mutter purpose, a hammer that we use to bang nails in, that's a kli shemlachta leiser. Am I allowed to use that to cut open a nut? So Rav Yehuda says no. So I'm alei Rabba, but 1 minute. Elameata sefer the tani, what about the last line of the Mishnah? That's a rachas, that's a malgaze or a mazleg, the pitchfork or the other types of big forks. Lasesa lavakatan. If I want to use that to give food to a katan, we mentioned yesterday that the Ron says, why would I be using this? What if the child didn't wash his hands in the morning? The Chiddush Ron said, and he has a ruach ross. I don't want to have to touch the food. It's not going to be feeding him. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to use these types of kelim in order to give him food. Rachos or malgeiz mimiachti lelakatan. You never have these types of large forks that are klisha malachto laheter. So Rabbi Yehuda, how do you read the Mishnah? So Elam Rabba, Rabba argues. Rabba says no. What the Mishnah means is kurnas shel nafachin, even a hammer of a blacksmith lufatzei bohei agosim, in order to break open the nuts. Ksavar, because what does Rabba hold? Davar shemalachto leiser letzara gufa mutter. If you're using even a kli shemalachto leiser, if you're using it for a mutter purpose on Shabbos, it's mutter, no problem. Period. Esei abayel Rabba. Is that really true that we would hold that meducha? So keep in mind, we're going to ask a couple of questions, and we're going to ask the same exact questions in a block from now. Same brises in a different context, but this is the first time. Esei abayel Rabba. Meducha, if somebody has a mortar, that is a surface that one breaks garlic on. So meducha, Rashi says, shedochin ba shum. It might even have an inside that you break, you crush garlic in. In yesh ba shum, if it has shum in it, metatlanosa, then you're allowed to move it. As long as it has shum in it. Vim lav, a metatlanosa. And if it does not, then you're not allowed to move it. 1 minute. Rabba, don't you say that this is a klishim lach talisser? So why can't you move it, lasara gufo? Right, only if it has garlic in it? Why can't you move it? So amar lei, hamani Rebbe Nechem Yehi. Da amar, no, you're right. I hold that it's mutter. But that price is Rebbe Nechem Yeshita. Da amar, we're going to have the source tomorrow, and we've had it once before. Ein kli nitel el lasarach tashmisha. Rebbe Nechem Yehi is a very machmer shita. He says you're only allowed to use, move kelim on Shabbos for the usage that they're meant for. Litzarech tashmisha. You know, even if you have another usage that is mutter, a tashmish al heter, that's not good enough for Ibn Chemya. Ein chli nital el lezorach tashmisha. So that's the author of the brisa. So no problem, according to what I'm saying. Let's continue a little more, and then we'll make a comment. Eisvei says another, the Mishnah in Maseches Beitza, we'll read the parentheses this time, just to get into it. Beishamai omrim einot lanasa eli, lakati v'lav basar, beisila matirin. Beishamai sila have a machlokas, whether one is allowed to move an eli, which is translated as a pestle, that is a place that you usually chop meat on. Lakati v'lav basar. That's a machlokas, whether one is allowed to move that on yantif. V'shavin, and though Beishamai sila both agree, shim katzav alav basar, sha'asir l'taltolo, that if somebody once I used it to chop meat on, because I could chop meat on Yantif, then I'm not allowed to move it after that. After I finish using it, right, I was allowed to use it for Ochel Nefesh, but I'm not allowed to move it afterwards. Even Beis Hillel agrees to that. So the question is, why not? Isn't it a klisha malach l'iser? So why can't I move it l'sarach gufo or l'sarach for other reasons? So savar l'shenu yilek Rebbe Nechemya. So originally we thought, well, we'll answer again. Maybe that's like Rebbe Nechemya's opinion. But then I had a better answer. We'd rather not say it's limited to a das yachid. So kiva d'sham elahad amar of chidina bar shalmiya mishvei derav. Once I heard Rav's statement, who says hakol modim besichi ziri umazuri. Everybody agrees by these three items. What are these three items? Rashi has two deyas. Either they are kalim of dyers, people who dye things, or Rabbeinu Halevi, he says, they are kalim of weavers. Right? Either different types of fancy kalim that are used. Rav says, everybody agrees, to kiva the kapat alayu miyachti luhu makom, since people are makpin not to use them for any other purpose other than what they are designated for. People are miyached makom. Rashi's lashon is makse lohen biyadayim. It's considered an active makse. Where does the word muksa come from? Muksa means separated, right? The opposite of muchan. Muchan and muksa are opposite. So you can have muksa that becomes muksa, what we would call memela, because you didn't have das on it. And then there's another type of muksa, which is an even stronger type of muksa, where halachically it's considered that you designated it actively out of usage for Shabbos. What's called maksa biyadayim. We had this back in the third parak. Dachya biyadayim, or not dachya biyadayim. So Rashi says, by these three fancy kalim, people are makbid not to use it for any other purpose. So miyachti luhum makom. So achanami miyachti luhum makom. So maybe here too, the Eli would be miyachid luhumakom, and that's why it's more than a klisha malachtel isser. That's why you can't move it. Why? The Ritva's lashon right here is muksa machmas chesron kis. That's what the Ritva says right here on our daf. Vavili muksa machmas chesron kis. The time of the shara beis hillel bidereisha. So why did beis hillel allow it to you for you to move it in the first place? Hainu mishum simchas yantif. Simchas yantif. Kid de savrinan hacha meikara. Right, Simchas Yantif. Interesting. Would Simchas Yantif, would Ochel Nefesh allow you to move a Muksa Machmas Chesron Kis? Says the Ritva, yes. The Ritva says right here in the Dasa Beis Hillel, you can move a Chesron Kis with Sorech Ochel Nefesh, but once you're finished, then it's no longer, right, there are many types of Muksas. Muksa Machmas Chesron Kis is one of the most chomer ones. Muksa Machmas Chesron Kis is usually defined as anything that has certain value to me that I dafka would not use it for anything else. I wouldn't want to use it for anything else. So it doesn't have to be worth millions of dollars. There are some that are. If I have a fancy electronic item, that is Ches or Kis. Generally, you know, I would say iPods or cell phones. Generally, those even though we would get cell phones, you know, not so expensive, but those are Ches or Kis. A fancy painting on the wall would be Chesron Kis. What are other examples? If you look in all the Muksa books, they talk about driver's license. Probably Chesron Kis, so it makes it, if it's in a drawer, if there's something in the drawer I want to get out, driver's license, a passport, a birth, I'm just reading from the Art Scroll Muksa book, just a whole list, a birth certificate, any of these would be Chesron Kis. What do you say about a telephone book? So, that's not Chesron Kis, telephone book. So the telephone book is klisha machtel iser, he says. That's klisha machtel iser because you usually use it for an iser. But if you want to look up an address because you're going somewhere on Shabbos, so then it would be mutter. Because klisha machtel iser l'tzorach mutter, l'tzorach gufo, as we will talk about. But that's the ritva here, chesron kis, and the chiddush of that is the havamina then. The chiddush of that is that l'shem ochel nefesh, he would allow you to use chesron kis. Let's continue up to the two dots and then we'll talk more. In Marav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. So we mentioned 2 days already in the Gemara. What type of hammer is the Mishnah talking about? The first day was Rav Yehuda. We're talking about a nut hammer. Rabba said no. We're even talking about a blacksmith hammer. 2 other days in the Gemara. What type of hammer? Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Kurnas Shel Zahavim Shaninu. We're talking about a hammer of people who work in gold. A very specialized type of hammer also. Rav Shimon Bar Abba Amar Kurnas Shel Besamim Shaninu. No, we're talking about a hammer that is used to grind spices. So the Gemara says, Man Damar Besamim, according to the one who says, it's talking about the one who says Besamim. So, Kol Shekein Dizahavim. He would surely then allow you to use the one that is used by gold miners. Or gold flatteners. Man damar shel zahavim, but according to the one shel zahavim, it could be that he would not allow you to use the one for besamim, because that one is even fancier. Aval de besamim, kapat alayu, you're even more makpid about that, so it doesn't get dirty, it doesn't get bent, so that could be the most, makpid alav, and therefore one wouldn't be able to use it. Period. Okay, let's remind ourselves of one type of muksa. We mentioned Chesron Kis is one type of muksa, but there's another type of muksa that we had earlier that the Rishonim here asked a question on. And that is, we had back on Daf Lamed, remember the Gemara, David HaMelech is, it dies, the Malach HaMavis finally gets him, he stops learning, and Shlomo HaMelech says, sends to the Beis Medrash, I don't know what to do, how do I move my father? He's stuck in the sun. And they said back to him, oh, put a Kikar Tinok on him. Put a cookie on the mace, and in that way you'll be able to move him. And the post and the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Rishonim, that heter is only allowed to be used by a mace. You can't take any type of muksa and put a cookie on it like, okay, I'm going to use it. Dafka by a mace. So, ask the Rishonim right here, asks the Rosh, ask the Meiri, ask other Rishonim on our Gemara, why am I allowed to move an Eli if an Eli is muksa? So why, just if there's shum in there, if there's garlic in there, so why am I able to move it automatically? Just putting something on a muksa item, you're able to move it? I thought that type of heter is only by a mace, not by any type of muksa item. So why here do we allow ourselves, do we allow the person to move the eli just because there is garlic in it. So three different answers given by the Rishonim. The Rush probably quotes the answer that most of us are thinking of. The Rush quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rush says in a tshuva, don't compare muksa machbas gufo to klisha malachta leiser. This is another type of muksa. So far what do we have? We have klisha malachta leiser. We've had muksa machbas chester and kiss. So now the Rush brings in muksa machbas gufo, something inherently that has no usage on Shabbos. Something, rocks, dirt, right? Anything that inherently is not a kli. It's not a kli, and it doesn't have specific usage, unless, of course, anything could have usage if I would designate it before Shabbos. But, you know, sand is muksa machbas gufo. But if I have sand in a sandbox in my backyard, so that's not muksa, that's designated as a toy, because it's in my backyard, it's in a box. So if I have a rock outside of my backyard, that's muksa machbas gufo. But what if before Shabbos, I brought it in because I need some door stoppers, and I designated it, and I did a physical ma'isa, I put it there, so then it could be that it's not muksa. So muksa machbas gufa, says the Rosh, don't compare muksa machbas gufa to klisha maftal iser. When do we say that kikir otinok only applies to a mace? That's in the world of muksa machbas gufo. Can't move anything muksa machbas gufo without putting a kikir otinok on it, then that won't help except by a mace. But by a klisha maftal iser? So we are more mekel. That's the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Ches. Shin Ches is the simin about muksa. Most in Yanni Muksa, Shin Ches, Sif Hey, says the Shulchan Aruch, quoting this Shuvas Arash. Yesh Matirim, he doesn't quote a Dea Shecholekas. Yesh Matirim, Letaltel Klisham Lakto L'Isser, Afilu Mechama L'Tzel, even for its own benefit, we'll get to that, Al Yedei Kikir Otinok. Right, based on our Gemara, the Rosh quotes it based on our Gemara, because our Gemara says that Shum is allowed in our Gemara. So that is, right, he quotes the Shulchan, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, V'nei de'azu, hidas harash, har be'chokim alzeh, v'sfirlu d'lo'i tirukik ratinok alameis b'lvah l'tatol yideim, even here. But that is one answer. If you look in the Me'iri here says, well, if it was on before Shabbos, maybe we could even be more mekel. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that here too. So that's another svara why it's more tzal. Even if you're not machalik between klisha malachta l'iser and muksa machbas gufo, maybe if it was on before Shabbos is better. And then the Rashba says something right here, even more lakula. The Rashba says, well, here is different because the shum belongs in this eli. Right? This is the purpose of the eli, to use it for shum. That's why it's more mekel. This isn't stama kikir or tinuk that you're putting that doesn't belong here. The Rashba says, no. Velesa, he quotes this question, Yesh Bishapirish Juhuadinai de Kikrotinok, that you can put a Kikrotinok on the Eli. And the Rashi says, what are you talking about? That's only for a mace. The Ela, the Ela Chamuksa Mitalta Ela de Kikar. Velo Amr Kanela Bashum, why? Ela Hainu Taima. Mishum de Kivan de Ainzu Asura Ela Machmas Malacha, Viachshav Bishamesh Heter Mimlachto, Fahari Masha Osra Himatira, Favali Kikadera Hamitaltelas Imatavshil. Right, it's like the item that belongs in here is in there. So that's not going to be usher. You have inherently the thing that's supposed to be in here. And the Mishnah Berurah also quotes this. So therefore, 3 days in the Rishonim, what's the reason? Is this like Kikar Otino? Because you have the Rush, who's Mechalik between Muksas fundamentally. You have the Meiri, who said, no, it was here before Shabbos. That you have Morlakula and the Rashba, that this is Gufa, the Tashmish of the Meducha, and therefore, it is Morlakula. Okay, 3 different days in the Rishonim, and now we move on. V'yasakush v'yasakarkar. 2 dots. The Mishnah mentioned that if I have kush and karkar, different types of sticks or little poles that are used usually for weaving, I'm allowed to use that on Shabbos at the end of the, where's the lashon, to stick into an item in order to hold it. Litchovba. There it is. The Kush v'karkar litchovba. Second to last line of the Mishnah. To insert. Let's say we would call this, let's say there's a bowl of strawberries. So I'm going to take something that is usually used for a klisha v'karkar litchovba, some type of little stick, and I'm going to stick it into the strawberry in order to use it like as a toothpick, in order to eat from it. So Tana Rabbanan, Pagash etavna b'tevin. V'chararash etavna b'gechalim. If I have a paga. Paga is a little unripe fig. Unripe fig that I put into straw in order to maybe let it ripen. I put it into straw. Straw is muksa on Shabbos, right? Muksa machmas gufo. What can you use straw for? V'charara shetamna b'gechalim, or a charara, a little cookie. Shetamna b'gechalim that I put into the coals that were already out, let's say, so that there's no issues of havara or kibui. So if I put it in there, so im gula miksasa, if part of it is sticking out, then mutla tatsala, then I'm allowed to take it out. But The imlat, Rashi says, this is even if I'm just taking it out and what was around it falls into the place where it was, Rashi says that's even less than what we call tiltul min hatzad. Tiltul min hatzad is moving muksa in an indirect way. Let's say maybe moving it with my elbow. That could be tiltul min hatzad. What about if something is left on my bed? I left a shaver on my bed, and I want to get into bed. So what do? So we will learn that you have to go into your bed, and the mail will fall off. Right? You push it with your feet, whatever it is, and it'll fall off. So is that there's also a form of tiltul min hatzad. There are different types of indirect moving of muksa. But Rashi here says it's even less than that, because I take something out of the ground, and or out of the straw, and everything falls into place afterwards. That's even less than tiltul min hatzad. So, we'll continue. In megula miksatas, if part of it is megulas, I could just lift up the item and pull it out, then mutal taltala. V'im lavas taltala. But if not, then it is usher to be mitalta, because I'm going to have to get under there and touch the muksa. Rav Elazar ben Tadoy omer, no, I have another idea. Tochvin bakush obakarkar, vehimanarus mealeyan. I could stick in one of these klisham latulissers, stick it in there, and not touch the muksa directly, and in that way pull out the mutter item. Amr of Nachman, halacha krav lezer ben tadoi. The halacha is like this, lezer ben tadoi, you'll have to use that. Says the Gemara Lameimra, the suffer of Nachman. Tiltul min hatzad, lo shmei tiltul. Is this to tell me that Rav Nachman says, right, this is why Rashi said it. In the previous case, according to the Tanna Kamma, it's even less than tiltul min hatzad, indirect. I'm just moving the mutter item. The muksa items fall into place. But here, in the second case, what Rav Elazar ben Tadoi allows, that is tiltul min hatzad. I'm moving the muksa indirectly. So, does Rav Nachman hold lo shmei tiltul, that is mutter? The Amar Rav Nachman, but didn't Rav Nachman also say, hai pugla, this type of radish, it's stuck in the ground. But we know the bottom of the radish is fat, and it gets skinnier on top. So, says Rav Nachman, it depends how this radish is stuck in the ground. Hai pugla, milamala lamata, if it's stuck in the ground with the fat side on top, shari, you're allowed to take it out. Because then you're not moving the muksa, right? It's like the case where it's just going to fall in. Mimata lamala, but if you're picking it up and the fat part is on the bottom, so you're going to be moving the muksa indirectly, usur. So you see from there that he usurs tiltul min hatzad. So answers the Gemara, hadabei Rav Nachman meahi. He was chozerbo, and he holds tiltul min hatzad is mutter. Period. What do we paskin? So if you remember a Tosfos we had back in the third parak, Tosfos said, well, maybe there's a difference whether the tiltul min hatzad is for the davar hamuksa or for the davar hamutter. Tosfos said earlier, if it's for the davar hamutter, so then it's mutter. Like in our case. In our cases, you're picking up the radish for the radish. You're taking out the thing inside the straw pile, so then it's mutter tiltul min hatzad. But if I'm doing tiltul min hatzad for the muksa item, whatever the case may be, so then it would be usur. That's what Tosfos said earlier in the third pair. If you want to look, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a 2-page ha'ara in the back of Shmir Shabbos. He says, ha'ara nechutz binyan tiltul min hatzad. When he talks all about the different types of tiltul min hatzad and how exactly we define, because again, there are different levels of moving, how indirect it is. Good. Two dots. Again, there's more here. Tosfos discusses here why isn't this a case of buses, but we'll see at the end of this time, but you can look at the Tosfos here that discusses it. So, machet shel yad, lito bavachulu, a needle. Says the Mishnah, you're allowed to take a needle that you usually use for weaving, for sewing, which is a klishim lakto leiser, and you're allowed to use it to take out a splinter. You're allowed to take out a splinter on Shabbos? The answer is yes. You're allowed to take out a splinter on Shabbos as long as it doesn't bleed. If you start taking it out and it starts to bleed, why? That's not, number one, it's not refuah. It's an external problem, number one. Number two, what's the issue? Chavala? If I'm just trying to take out the splinter, if a little bit is sticking out, so then I could try to get it out. If I start bleeding, then I got to stop. Because then I realize that it's chavala. But if it's most of the time you take out a splinter, it does not bleed, most of the time. And it's a davar shein miskaven if it does, because most of the time it doesn't. So meikra din, if one would be able to take it out. Especially if it's causing pain. If it's causing pain, then for sure. If it's not causing pain and it's totally under the skin, then we might as well wait. But otherwise, you're allowed to. So, Shalach le Rava Bereid de Rabba le Rav Yosef, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us, Rebbe, Macha Chenitel Charara, O Uksa Mahu. What if you have a needle that is missing its point or its hole? So, are you allowed to use that? So, Amar le Tani Tua, yeah. Macha Cho Yadli Tolba Esa Coats. You're allowed to use a needle to take out a splinter. Vechima Yechma Leila Coats, Bein Nekuva, Le Bein Sheinu Nekuva. For the splinter's purpose, it doesn't make a difference if there is an eye in the needle. Doesn't make a difference. So it must be our Mishnah is assuming that it's mutter. So Eisve, 1 minute. But doesn't the Mishnah say in Maseches Kalim, as you would have guessed, Machat Shenitel Charara, O Uksa Tahora. Right? The Mishnah says in Kalim that a needle, that it's missing its eye or its point, so then it is not a Kli. And therefore, shouldn't it be Muksa? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaya, Tuma Shabbos Karamis. What's your Havamino? What are you comparing to me, Hilchos Tuma and Hilchos Shabbos? Again, every three blot in Maseches Shabbos, we have a comparison between Hilchos Shabbos and another area of Halacha. Sometimes the Gemara seems to accept it, sometimes not. Right? We had in terms of writing a Sefer Torah. Right, we had many different examples of comparing Hilchos Shabbos to Hilchos Kol HaTorah Kula. So Abaye here rejects it. He says, how could you compare the cases? Tuma Kli Maisa Binan. For Tuma V'Tara, you need a Kli that is functional for its purpose. And a needle cannot be function for its purpose if it doesn't have a need, doesn't have a hole, or doesn't have a point. Lenin Shabbos, we did the Chazi Be'inon. On Shabbos, all you need is something that is ra'ui to take out the splinter. And this is ra'ui. So, machlokes, whether we compare it to Tilchas Toma or not. Amar Rava, Madakamosif, Shabakamosif. I think the question was good, says Rava. Midilenian Tuma, La Manahu. Lenin Shabbos, La Nami, La Manahu. Rava thinks, no, you don't get the first base. If it's not a Kli, then you can't use it to take out a splinter. Only if it's a Kli. Even if it's Malachto Le Isser, so then you could do it. You could use it. But if it's not a Kli at all, Rava says you can't do it. So, Machlokas between Rava and Abaya. Meisve, I'll ask from a Tosefta in Kalim. Says the Gemara, Machat bein nukuva bein shein nukuva, mutu l'tazal b'shabes, a machat, even if it does not have a hole, you're allowed to be metaltal it, v'lo amru nukuva elin yin tumma bovad. So nukuva only makes a difference v'ilchus tumma v'tara. So it's beferish. Beferish atosefta like Abaya against Rava. So, as we see achdus in the Gemara, tiragama Abaya libet to Rava, Abaya explains for Rava, even though that's his bar plukta, Abaya explains for Rava, oh, you know what Rava's talking about, you know what the Brisa means, when the Brisa says that it's mutul atazul b'shabes bigulme askinan. No, those are cases where you're in the process of making the needle in the first place, and you didn't yet make the hole in it. That's what's able to be used on Shabbos. Why? Zimnin demimla chalayu mashvilu mana. Because sometimes you might leave it like that. That's where the Brisa says that even according to Rava, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. Aval, but what was Rava's case? Rava's like, well, you had a needle, and then it got broken. And then it lost its soul, and then it lost its point. Aval hecha de nitel charara o uksa adam zorka lebein grutos. Says Rava, if you're in the processing stage and it didn't get its hole yet, so then fine. I'll admit that could be used on Shabbos. Because that's not something inferior. It didn't break. It just wasn't made yet. So therefore, that's not going to be muksa. But if you had a good needle and then it got broken, so then people are going to throw this out. So therefore, you cannot use it on Shabbos. It loses its shame kli. Period. Next, Asuve Yenuka. What is Asuve Yenuka? So that is a machlokas here. Rashi says Asuve Yenuka means when a baby is born, sometimes his limbs aren't all in the right place. You gotta put some of them might have been semi-dislocated on the way out. So you gotta form the baby on Shabbos. You gotta fix, well, that's the issue. Can you get the baby back into place on Shabbos? It is not an issue of Sakaras Lafashas, because then obviously this wouldn't be an issue. But, you know, maybe the shoulders are a little up, or different types of bones. So are you allowed to get the baby back into place? Is it an issue of tikkun on Shabbos? Or refuah? The Aruch, here quoted on the side, has a different shot. See the Aruch? Kishanafla, Arlas, Hagaran, Shaltino, Mesima, Achaya, Etzba, Befiv. When the child is born, maybe his tongue is a little closing up of his windpipe, and the midwife puts her finger into the mouth to start the juice is going in terms of the normal breathing process and where the tongue should be, and most of the time that causes the baby to vomit. So is that an issue of refuah or tikkun on Shabbos? That is the 2 days here in Rashi and in the Aruch. Let's go with Rashi. And the Ritva here adds in, isn't it a davar shein miskave? And the Ritva says, no, the baby always throws up when you stick the finger down his throat, so it would be a psik resha. But either way, asuba yinuka, machlokas, Rav Nachman, asur Rav Shesha Shari, machlokas, whether it is asur or mutter. Rashi says, why would it be asur? De dummy limisakein. Dummy limisakein, again, meaning it's a case where one would be able to wait till after Shabbos. Okay, and it's not a case of sakana. So, Amar Rav Nachman Amina La, how does Rav Nachman know that it's asur ditznan? Because the Mishnah says later on, we're going to have, Ein osin apiktavizin b'shabes. You can't make apiktavizin. So this is where Rabbeinu Chanal got his shot. This is where the Arak got his shot. Apiktavizin is a type of mixture that causes somebody to throw up. Right, to get out, to clean themselves out. So just like the Mishnah says, you can't make apiktavizin to drink on Shabbos, right? Rashi says, velo l'refua elo l'harikat me'av, sheyuchal l'echo v'lishtos hayom harbeh. Right, so it's not, wouldn't be asur mishum refua, but it's misakin gavra, Rashi says. So still to here would be misakin gavra. That's Rav Nachman. For Rav Sheshes would say, no, hasam lav orche, making the apiktavizin for an adult, that's asur, because that's not normal. And therefore, that's would be in the world of tikkun. Hacha urche. But this is regular, normal behavior after a child is born. Rashi. Vahari hu kemisha ma'achilo umashkehu. It's like you give the baby to eat and drink. So you fix his body when he's born. Nothing wrong with that, says Rav Sheshes. And therefore, that is not a problem. Amar Rav Sheshes, we know, I mean, Allah, so how does Rav Sheshes know that it's mutter, besides knocking out Rav Nachman's raya? What's his raya? It's not our Mishnah. That's why this is here. Machash al yali tobas hakotz. What does that mean? You're allowed to take out a splinter on Shabbos. Why? It's an external problem. This isn't refuah, this isn't you're not fixing the person. You're removing an impediment for normal life. So to here, that's how we can look at it. You're just, by fixing the body, it is like removing a splinter, Rav Sheshes would say. And it says Rav Nachman, no, for Rav Nachman, hasam pakid, hachalo pakid. Over there by the splinter, it's something external sitting in the skin that you're removing. How could you compare that to this case, which is more dummy l'malacha, that you're being mesader everything positively and actively? Okay, machlokas Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes, again, generally, bizman hazeh, everything in the hospital that needs to be done for the child is done. Good, we continue. Kanesh al zeisim, says the Mishnah, and again, the next Mishnah we will get us into all of the different types of kalim, as we will see. Says the Mishnah, kanesh al zeisim, if somebody has a reed of zeisim, what is it? After I pick olives, I usually put it into a big barrel to start melt that, so the oil will start oozing out by itself. And it gets very wet and thick. And after that, I'll take it, I'll put it into the matan, I'll put it into the olive press and really give it a big, push down to get out all of the oil. So, there is a rod that is used in the barrel, and I would, just like lahavdil, not so lahavdil, but lahavdil, sometimes when we want to check the oil in the car, you stick a long thing in, and then you took it out, and you see where the line for the oil is. So it seems to me this is a similar type of idea. You stick it in, and you see how wet it is on the bottom to see how much the oil has already oozed out. So konesh al zeisim, im yesh kesher barosho, if it has a knot at the end of it, meaning it's not a flat wooden kli, but it has a knot at the end of it, makabal tuma. Then it's makabal tuma, as we'll see in the Gemara. V'im lav ein makabal tuma, but if it's totally flat, then it is not makabal tuma. Because this is what we would call a pshute kli, as we'll see. Ubenkach, uvenkach nidav Shabbos. Either way, it is mutter to use on Shabbos, because if you're using it for a mutter function. So the Gemara says, amai, why, if it has a kesher, does that function as a, what we would call a base kibul and a receptacle, pshute kliyetsu. Even if it has a little indentation at the end of it, we know the principle is flat wooden kalim are not makabal tumah. Upshute kliyetsu ain't a makabal tumah. It's one of the esodos of ilchasum of atara. My time, dumya de sak pa'inon. Because in the Torah, eight is mentioned next to sak, and it has to be similar to sock. Sock is a material which has a receptacle area to hold something. So too, on a daraisa level, pshute kliyetz, if I have a flat wooden board that is not makabel tumah, even if I'm using it for something. Even if it's a tray that I carry out food on. But if it's pshute kliyetz, it's not makabel tumah. And the Tosfos HaRosh here says, he has a big discussion of this, but he says it sounds like from our Gemara that it's not even makabel tumah midirabanan. Not even midirabanan makabel tumah. So says the Gemara. So what does the kesher at the end do? The Gemara says, Tana Mishrei Derab Nechemya. It does something. B'shashem ha'apech b'zeisim hofcho v'robo. Yeah, when I want to check, I pick up this stick, and at the end, there'll be some juices or even some dregs that'll get stuck on the kesher. So it will function as a base kibul. It won't be a total receptacle, but it will be enough to hold a certain amount of the zeisim, and therefore, it gets it out of the realm of pshute kliyetz. It's a kliyetz with a base kibul, and therefore, it would be makabel tumah. Good. Says the Mishnah now. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol HaKelim Nitalin, all Kelim can be moved on Shabbos, Chutz Min HaMasar HaGadol, V'Yaseh Shal Machresha. Except for the large saw and the blade of the plow. Why? These two are, as we mentioned, these are Kelim, but these are Muksum Achmas Chesron Kis Kelim. Most Kelim are not. Most Muksum Achmas Chesron Kis are items. They're not Kelim. But once in a while, if you have a very specialized type of Kli, I wouldn't use that for anything else. And therefore, that is already called a Kli Muksum Achmas Chesron Kis. That's what the Mishnah here says. Rabbi Yossi says you can move all Kelim except for these items. Amar of Nachman, others. Hai Uchla Tekatsuri. Uchla, Rashi has a couple of days what this is. A certain type of Kli that launderers use. Kiyaseh shal machresha damye. Amar Abaya. Charba de ushkafi. A knife that tanners use. The sakina de ashkavta. Or a knife that butchers use. Vachatzina de nagri. Or another type of kli that carpenters use. Kiyaseh shal machresha damye. All of these are fancy types of kela. Where did this come up? Lamaisa lamaisa. The Ramah talks about it in Yaradeya. Which halacha? Mila. After a moel, the special mila knives. After a moel does bris mila, what does he do with the knife? Does he have to drop it? Or can he, right, because after he's finished using it, if it's chesron kis, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos because, you know, mila is docha even a malacha daraisa. But what happens right afterwards? Do you have to drop it? Are you allowed to wash it off? Are you allowed to put it back into your bag? So that's a big discussion. The Ramah is mako. And the Mefarshim discuss on the bottom, the Vilna Gaon and others on the bottom of the Gra, on the bottom of the Ramah discuss it. If you want to look it up, it's in Reish Samach Vav Sif Beis. And the Rush says it, talks about it right here, along with the Karban Nisana. That is the Sakin Shalmila. Tana Rabbanan, so here we go. Here we get to it. Tana Rabbanan, just to introduce. As we mentioned, there are different types of kalim. Kli shemalachto leheter and kli shemalachto leisser. Something that's usually used for isser, something that's usually used for heter. And number one. Number two, there are three reasons why I would use a kli. Why I would move a kli. Three reasons. I might move it because I want to use it for a mutter purpose. Right? Kli, I want to take a scissors to cut chicken with. I want to, you know, any type of kli shemalachto leisser, litzarech gufo. Or litzarech makomo, I need the spot where the kli is. And third is mechama litzel. I want to move it in order for the benefit of the item, benefit of the item itself. Let's say my pen is a very fancy pen, and I left it outside on the table in my backyard. I don't want it to get stolen, so I'm going to move it. Mechama litzel means from the sun to the shade. So the ultimate is that, let's say, something's going to get ruined in the sun. But any purpose, mechama litzel is when I want to move it for the item's benefit itself. Nothing to do with me on Shabbos, Gufo Makomo. So that's the last reason why I would allow myself to move it, because that's for the Davar HaMuksa. So those are the three reasons why I would move something, and now we're going to get to what's the history. Tana Rabbanan. Barishona HaYo'omrim Shlosha Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbos. As we'll see, earlier in history, Chil Shabbos was rampant. So they needed to shock the system, and therefore they basically said, everything's usher! You can't move anything on Shabbos. They were trying to shock the system, and little by little, they matured items that they ossered. Tosfos and the Rishonim here say maybe they didn't osser like basic silverware that you need to eat with. Certain kalim that are kulo malachto lehetter, they didn't osser, but they ossered a lot of other things. So Tana Rabbanan, Barishona Hayu Omrim Shlosha Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbos. They originally said only three kalim are mutter to be used on Shabbos. Miksoa Shel Dveila, a knife that cuts figs, vizuama, lister and shakadera, and a ladle used to ladle out from a pot, visakan ktana shakadia shulchan, and little knives that you use, they use on the table. Right? That's what they said. They asked it and they said, these are the only things that are mutter. But then, hitiru, they matured, vachazer hitiru, they matured again, vachazer hitiru, three different stages of heter. Ad sha'amra, until the maskana was, kol hakela mitalam b'shabbos, until they say what our Mishnah says, chutz ben amaser hagadol v'yaseh shel machresha. Period. So now the question is, what was originally asserd, and what did they then matir? So my hitiru v'chazer v'hitiru v'chazer v'hitiru. What were the three stages? So this is a machlokas between Abaya and Rava. Abaya says, we hold like Rava, as we'll see. Says Abaya, Amar Abaya, hitiru davar shemalachto leheter letzara gufo. That's the first stage of heter. V'chazer v'hitiru davar shemalachto leheter letzarach makoma. So, second stage was they matered malachto leheters. The chazre v'hitiru davar shem malachto leisser, letzarach gufo in, letzarach makomo lo. So even Lomaskana, Abaya says, Darvah Klisha Malato Le'isr is not allowed to be moved if you need the spot. V'yadayin, B'yado Achas In, B'shtei Yadav Lo. And still, only if it's a small kli that can be moved with one hand. But one that requires two hands, no. Ad Sha'amru, until the real Maskana, Kala Kalib, Yitalim B'Shavas, Afilu B'shtei Yadayin. Even with two hands. Period. That's Abaya's suggestion of the history. Amalei Rava, no, Michdi. He tiruktani. It says they matir. Mali l'sarach gufo, mali l'sarach makomo. What's the difference between sarach gufo and sarach makomo? They're both needs that are not for the kli itself. So why should there be any difference between them? So Elama Rava, Rava says this is what happened. He tiru davasham lachto leheter. Bein l'sarach gufo, bein l'sarach makomo. They matter both reasons. The chazer v'itir mechamel itzel. And then second stage was they even mattered you to move a klisha malachto leheter for its own purpose. The chazer v'itiru davar shemalachto leisur lezarach gufa lezarach makomo in mechamel itzel lo. So lemaskana, Rebbe says, one cannot move a klisha malachto leisur mechama litzel. Right, that case that I gave before, if you have a fancy pen outside, you cannot move it. Right, you got to figure out a way to need the spot. Right, so then you can move it on Sarach Makoma. The Yadayin, Ba'adam Echadim, B'shei B'nei Adam Lo, Ad She'amru, Kol HaKelim, Yitalim B'Shabbos, Afilu B'shnei B'nei Adam. Even on two B'nei Adam, and we pass in like Rava, right, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Ches. Continues the Gemara, the same price as we quoted earlier. Eis Ve'abaya, Meducham, Yish Bashum, Metalton Osa, Vim Lave, Metalton Osa, why wouldn't you be able to move it? Isn't that just a Klisha Malato Le'isser? Hakamai Skinem Echamal Itzel. Maybe that's why you can't move it. Ace veveshav and shem kazav alabazar shaslataltalo. Why can't you move it? Hachanami mechamal itzel. Those two prices are mechamal itzel. Period. Last line for today. Amar Rabbi Chanina b'yemei Nechemya ben Chiklia nishtes bishnazu. When was this gzera made? In the times of Nechemya. In the times of Tanakh, Ezra Nechemya. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says in Nechemya, b'yamim hahema ra'isi b'yehuda dorchim gito b'shabbos. I saw people that used to be involved in their press on Shabbos. Umavi and Haremos. People used to be Michal Shabbos. And therefore, he needed to make such a gzeira. Period. Stop there for now. So you see from this Gemara Beferish that the all Muksa, there were many different stages of Muksa. Where was the first stage of Muksa? Way back in the times of David HaMelech. We already had earlier, Muksa Machmas Gufo. That was already in the times of David HaMelech. Later on in history, we have the gzeira of Tiltul Kalim. Rav Shechter likes to point out that the Rishonim don't call this Muksa. This is the gzera, all the different klishim ata la'es, la'itr, la'es, la'isr, la'heter. That's called gzera's tiltul kalim. That's not muksa. Muksa is muksa machmas gufa, muksa machmas chesron kis, muksa machmas isr, muksa machmas mius. All of these are muksa. But this, what we're talking about in this parak, is gzera of tiltul kalim. It was made at a different time period in history. Just the har on that is that the Rambam puts them all together. The Rambam, in that Rambam we started off with today, puts all the muksas together in the end of Parak Chavdalet in Hilcha Shabbos. But Pashas is that it is a separate issue. Good. And as we mentioned, muksa, the other muksas, designed at Gufo and Makomo is only a discussion by Tiltul Kalim. Gzeira Tiltul Kalim is not a discussion by earlier. Okay, maybe we'll start tomorrow with a Ha'ara of the Maritz Chayas, who talks about different stages of Halacha, and different stages of Mishnayos and sources, when it was all written down. We'll see his shita, based on the Rambam, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi really did not write the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi just formulated the Mishnah, put it all together, but it wasn't written down until much later, as we'll talk about the Maritz Chayas, we'll talk about the Chashuk Echemen, there's a couple of discussions here, and eventually we will continue with our discussions of Kol HaKelim.